to...
I'll second that.
I would say, if I may, that I'm going to make a distinction between an auditor and an inspector general.
Yeah.
Those are a couple different hats, and I don't know the woman, but I would say that my impression of DCF is that it's bigger than one person.
I just mean financial situation. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It doesn't strike me that this is.
Although remember, an inspector general is not in the chain of command. An inspector general only. We quite frankly, I would think it's as equally possible that she has been crying out and reporting and recommending and suggesting changes, and it is not her. She has no power to implement any of those.
I don't think it will give confidence to the citizens of Palm Beach County. That's all. So I'm happy to interview her, but I would like to.
Here's a budget of $8 million and 53 people on her staff. That's what impressed me about her ability to handle things.
She's also on the board.
Unless he spent all his budget in bad shape.
I mean, one of the problems of DCF is that it has way too many people not doing casework, but that's a different issue.
Well, she all happens to be on the board of directors of the Association of Inspector Generals. So, you know, I guess I would respectfully disagree. Maybe I don't know.
You'd like to keep her on?
Yeah, I'd like to keep her on.
Okay.
But at least for an interview. I think
I'm
we
happy
owe it.
To interview her.
I'd like to be heard on that. I've read a lot of reports about the things that are wrong with DCF, and not once have I read a report saying the Inspector General said this or that. I second Dr. Fiore's comments. Our function here is not only to find the best person for the job, but also the person that can inspire confidence in the position. And I hate to paint Ms. Steckler with the brush of DCF's incompetence, but unfortunately she's part of that team.
The group
wants to interview her. Obviously, we're going to interview her, but she's going to have an uphill
battle
with me.
I think there are three people here, one or all, or four, that perhaps we can do it, because there's no point if she doesn't have the votes right on the surface of it. But I'd hate for just one vote to be.
And I'm happy to interview her. Yeah. I just wanted to raise that.
Is there anybody else would like to have her stricken from the list of people we want to see? Dr. Fiore.
Anyone else?
No, sir. I'm happy to give her an interview. I think we ask her the hard questions and then we make our decision.
Okay.
She's coming from Tallahassee, so it won't cost the taxpayers too much to get her here.
Anybody else want to get rid of somebody or?
Melinda McGill.
Linda McGill.
And for no reason except that we're looking for someone who's independent. I think someone who is, you know, part of the foundational political machine of the state of Florida is not. Someone that we can recommend to the citizens of Palm Beach County is independent.
I would agree with Dr. Fiore.
So again, I don't know anyone
really?
Here, and I'm merely reacting as a citizen.
I would just say that I don't know Ms. McGill, and I don't mean to paint her with any brush as well, but her last three jobs since 2001 have all been working directly for our current governor in three different jobs. And again, just from a political independence and the appearance, I said before, the appearance is as important as the actuality. I'm sure she could be independent and would do a fine job if we picked her, but I agree with Dr. Fiore. I think we've got excellent candidates here, and I just don't think that we would be sending the right message if we selected someone with that close of a tie to anyone in partisan politics, whatever their political stripe.
She's been Attorney General for the state of Florida for the last 3 years.
It's about as high as you can get up here. Well, like Marcia Cook was the IG for what Jeb Bush for, mm-hmm. It is an appointed position, and I'm not sure whether it has tenure or it serves at the pleasure of the governor, and it covers the executive office of the governor, I believe. It does not extend to executive agencies.
But the governor's political appointees who have full-time state jobs and also second jobs who are not being asked to change how they deliver state services. So I don't think there's confidence that that office is doing the job that we want them to do.
I was also a little focused on the issue that she currently supervises only 7 people, previously only supervised 6 people, and only then before that supervised 12 people, including administrative staff. So although the job sounds quite lofty, it doesn't seem to me to have the the meat that some of the other candidates have been managing in the point of getting someone who can take an organization from scratch, set it up, and run it well. I just felt we had better candidates to spend our time on.
Okay, let's...
I for one would like to talk to her. Obviously, she's okay. Got some concerns.
How many people would not like to talk to her? Maybe that's easier.
I would vote not to.
Two? Okay, she stays.
Fine.
Anybody else?
Anyone else?
Bruce, do you have anybody?
I was waiting for Dr. Fuhrer in case she has anyone else she wanted to comment on.
My comments.
I just had a couple of comments. I paying heed to Mr. Merriman's comment, perhaps we want to look maybe at people with four votes and above rather than three votes and above. But that's my personal view. I think if we take the top nine candidates, or I think it's nine, if we
just
limit it that way.
Just call for a show of hands. How many people want to go from four up?
Well, if I could, Mr. Chairman, I did have a couple of comments on other people, and maybe someone wants to change a vote or move someone around. But my general view was 12 was too many, and if we could cut it down a little, we had some good candidates. I have to make two disclosures. First of all, Candace Will, who did get two votes, is a personal friend of mine. I've known her for 20 years from Washington, D.C. She's the assistant director of the FBI for the Office of Professional Responsibility. And when I was first appointed and before we had a cone of silence, I simply sent her the job link in case she was interested in applying. She did apply. I have an open mind, obviously, as to whomever we want to choose. I'm not asking that she be moved out of that list. I just wanted to make that disclosure so everyone knew that.
She didn't make the cut, did she?
I don't think she did, but in case anyone else felt strongly, I wanted them to know that was my affiliation with her. And also John Scott, I know from we crossed paths briefly in Washington, the office I was leaving, he was coming into. So I know him. I have some personal interaction with him, which I'm not going to share because I don't think it's fair to the other candidates one way or the other. So I'm going to take no position on Mr. Scott, but he's got five votes, and I think if everyone wants to interview him, that would be wonderful. But I just, again, wanted to make the disclosure that I do have a relationship with him outside of this process. Not a close one, but I do know him. That being said, my personal view would be I think the people who have four, five, and six votes make a very strong pool, and in my personal sense would be to limit it to those people. But, I'm open to hear what everybody else has to say.
Well, maybe we can deal with that first. Does anybody want to limit it to four? Cut off?
Can we hold that in advance until we see
Let's
whether...
Go to Mr. Farrakh, then.
For the same reasons Dr. Fiore spoke about Ms. Steckler, I'm not so sure that Jerry Thornton, who's currently a three, is a good choice. I understand the L.A. School District is not exactly the best run school district in the country, and perhaps it's unfair to paint Mr. Thornton with that brush, but there we have it. So I vote that we not interview him. And the only other thing that I would have is if we are cutting off at fours, I would like to move Ms. Tattos up to interview, even though she only has three.
Okay, is anybody else doesn't want Mr. Thornton? I don't have him on my original list. So I would be.
I had him on my original list, but I'm content to change that vote or to concur with Mr. Farrakh. I think we have better, stronger candidates, or equally strong candidates, and he is coming from Los Angeles, and so I'd, okay. I'd be fine to withdraw my vote on that.
We have three voting to withdraw Mr. Thornton.
Well,
anybody else have any opinions about it?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said about what. Who was it that you wanted to move up?
Jerry Thornton.
Stacy Chattos, move up. If we cut off at fours,
okay.
Only interviewing fours.
We're not there yet. We're just trying to find out whether you want to keep Mr. Thornton on the list or you vote to strike him.
as to Mr. Thornton, he was on my list, I do want to say that I think it would be I would ask that we don't attach significance. It may be that in the questioning they don't handle the questions well about, well, you've been the IG for this organization, what changes have been effectuated given your work, what results have you gotten? But I know, you know, IGs just aren't in the chain of command, and so it can be, you can be that lone voice out there saying, hey, do this, do that, straighten your act up. And you know, it can be an important watchdog function that may, but our evaluation of the organization itself may be a little misleading.
Isn't it fundamentally or definitional to an IG that they're independent? I mean, and particularly in a non-political sense. I mean, maybe that's not the case always, but the way I've come to believe it in the discussions I've had with people is that even someone who might be appointed by a partisan point or still has the function and role to remain independent of that process. I'm not naive enough to believe it's always the case, I think that rather than to strike somebody on that on the basis of that without giving them a chance to speak would be wrong.
Okay. If I could raise one other concern that I had about Mr. Thornton, he was on my original list, but I was sort of on the fence. The other thing that had concern to me is why does this person want to come to Florida? They've been in California for the last 30 years. He's running an $11 billion operation. Why does he suddenly want to come here to do this? I mean, I have some concern about, we talked about this again in the last election committee discussion. You know, you want someone who wants to be here for the right reason, and I had some concern as to
because we're cleaning
that
up corruption county. Yeah. And he wants to be a part of it.
I'm sure there's plenty of that in the L.A. Unified School District.
I thought the same thing.
We've had three people who want to get rid of him, that's all. Is there somebody else to make it for? If not, then...
Well, if we vote on Mr. Reinhart's recommendation that we go four and above, then he would be eliminated by that process.
Yeah, but you can't guarantee that Chados is going to stay.
Well, we can make... Well, we can.
Do you want to hear from Mr. Thornton or you don't?
He was on my list, too, but I think, you know, those are... Valid points that everyone's made.
Right now, Mr. Reinhart, Mr. Broch, and Rogers have voted to strike him, I think. We need one more else.
I'll vote to strike him.
Okay.
In order to replace him.
Mr. Thornton is off.
Sorry.
Well, we're trying to get under 12, so...
I understand.
It still has,
But if we're adding people who are not in the top...
Yeah. There's no dealing available here.
No deal?
Somebody else may want to put somebody else on.
You've just given me some notice
guarantee.
There.
I would like to ask Mr. McAuliffe why Mr. Dunning is a long shot for you. Just I would like to know how you view his candidate, candidate.
You know what? He
Who?
Dunning. I only say that because he only got one vote out of seven. I don't actually even remember who he was.
I'm curious.
Is that being recorded?
Okay.
No, and Mr. Geiser is, of course, also an IG. So if we're moving Chados up, I would want to move Geiser up.
Mr. Geiser is the...
Well, we haven't. We're just striking right now.
I know I'm a pushy.
Okay.
I know I'm
all right, let's go and let's finish striking and see how many we're going to get rid of. Let's go to Mr. McAuliffe. Is there anybody on the list that you don't think you want to have interviewed?
No, I happen to have a bias to interview a little more than a little less. I'll commit the time to do it.
Okay.
I think that there is a functional limit because you then turn it into a marathon and the 14th interviewee doesn't get the same... consideration that the first and second did, but I would urge us if someone's on the bubble, I would opt to be inclusive rather than exclusive. It's their dime, their time, and I'm willing to put the extra hour into another interview.
Okay, Ms. Loyalis?
I agree, better to err on the side of caution and make sure it comes.
No strikes for you. All right, Mr. Orbison.
I agree with that. I
no strikes.
No, I don't have any strikes.
Okay, how many do we have now, Ms. Ian?
At four and up?
Yes, at four and up.
We have Clemens, Donahue, Lober, Miguel, Picor, Steckler, and Scott.
How many is that?
Seven.
Okay. No more strikes. Does some of you want to add to the list now? Okay.
Indeed. Geiser. Mr. Geiser.
So
Mr. Heiser.
We have three more twos, right? Three more threes.
We have four threes. We have
Eric Chata, Geiser.
Eric Geiser. We have Chadas, okay. Geiser.
Seymour.
And did we,
when we got rid of
Poacher? Or?
And Tallure.
Tallure. Yes.
11,
and Tyre.
Yeah.
There are four threes.
Okay, then we're set with the seven. So we're. Can we decide on a number that we're going to have, or are we just going to go on and on? We're going to try to stop at 12, or
why don't we do if we add the threes?
Then I would.
Then
that
you
would
have
be 11.
12. If I'm.
Maybe. Unless oh, but we just.
We struck Mr. Thornton. I thought.
I mean.
Oh, well, we struck.
Yeah.
Mr. Thornton.
So it would be 11.
Aww.
11. We can put him back in if someone is really upset about that.
We didn't. Did we strike Mr. Thornton?
Yeah. Okay.
He was. Who was the fourth vote? He was. I know. I
traded him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right. We have 11. Your suggestion is to add. Could you give us names, Mr.
Well,
McAlfey?
Candace Will was. I know Bruce was disclosed. You know, I know how difficult a job being the assistant director of the FBI, doing OPR with FBI agents. I just thought, it was an intriguing. I was just very impressed with that tenure and that position. It's a very difficult job to do well, and I've heard good things about her. So that's why I, maybe I'm being biased because I'm thinking.
She's way on the list. She's just the.
She had two, but she didn't get a third.
Well, it might be only because we don't understand what you understand, and so I'm happy to hear someone advocate. Based on their personal understanding, as you're saying.
Yeah, she has a great history of public service. It's at the I was impressed with her when I read the package materials that running OPR at the Bureau is a very high level job within the Justice Department and the Bureau, and it often put in a difficult situation. It's a law enforcement organization, so you tend to have to have a very strong sense of self to be scrutinizing the conduct of agents. You can replace officers, detectives in that definition. And to be able to do that successfully means that you've got a good, strong, professional agility.
So is this the equivalent of an IG? Given that we're trying to find someone who will be able to organize the office fairly quickly?
It's not the equivalent of an IG. It's the equivalent of an IA, Internal Affairs. It does deal with non-criminal misconduct, and then criminal misconduct, as I remember OPR, then gets referred out for follow-up investigation. So it's not primarily a criminal investigative. It's behavior and ethical-based watchdog role. So in that regard, it's within our parameters.
Go ahead and vote on it. If we continue lobbying, we're not going to get to the next meeting.
Well, Judge, let me just respond to the question that was raised, if I could. I've made my disclosures. I'll keep it within the framework of her application. I wouldn't discount the fact that this is a female lawyer working at the highest levels of a law enforcement agency for many years quite successfully, and you can imagine how experienced male senior FBI agents probably felt about a person like this being their ethical and internal affairs watchdog. So, and her background is as a lawyer. So for whatever it's worth, I throw that out. But as I've said, I've made my vote, and
Let's try to keep the lobbying down to the time we're going to do it. If we start lobbying now, we won't get through with anything.
I would move to put her in our cut
okay.
and make her the Jerry Thornton replacement, and then you have 12.
Indeed.
Anybody else want to vote for that?
Yes, please.
Okay, doctor?
Aye.
Sure.
Three?
I'm going to oppose that. Her resume is much more impressive than mine, but she has no IG experience whatsoever.
Okay. We're looking for votes now. You're not voting for her. How about you, Ms. Harbison? You're voting to add Mrs. Will.
I agree with you. The comment I was going to make is that is the internal accounting, governmental accounting, the internal auditor function. I don't know. I'm happy to interview her, though. But with that,
it's my understanding we have four votes. Doctor, Torverson, Soilis. four votes to add Ms. Candace Wills. Will. Is that right? How many does that give us now?
12.
12. All right. Any other additions or deletions?
Did we add Stacy Chattos?
We haven't spoken about Ms. Chattos yet.
But you wanted.
We did. We added all the threes.
We added all the threes.
Right. I would.
Were there three?
I believe. Okay. And if we haven't, I would like to add her as well. Okay. I didn't vote for her initially, but I would add my vote to her.
All right, Ms. Yen, would you read the list we have at this time?
Okay. We have Clemens, Donahue, Lober, Miguel, Picor, Steckler, Scott, Tayor, Chattos, Geiser, Seymour, and Will.
How many is that?
I am counting.
Better be 12.
I move that we interview these 12 candidates.
Wait a second.
Second.
Okay.
Is it 12?
It is 12.
Good.
It is 12? Okay.
Double, triple check.
Take them over and second her on that.
Yeah. Mr. McAuliffe and Dr. Fiore.
Thank you.
Dr. Fiore was the second. We have 12. Ready for the question?
Sir.
Okay. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Here.
Okay. Motion's carried. One opposition. Attorney Farage. Okay. We're going to have that 12, and now we'll decide on an interview date. We have an interview date for the ED. Is that right?
And that's correct.
April
that's
the...
April 24th.
24th.
That's for the other.
And that's going to be an all-day thing. So on a Saturday.
We're interviewing 8 for that. Is that correct?
That's 7.
7.
Let me ask the same question I asked at the last selection committee meeting to Mr. Merriman based on his experience. Can we do this in one day, or do we really need to?
First of all, you've selected 12 candidates, and obviously some of them are from out of town, and history may repeat itself, and that is when you pick an interview date, and sometimes people just can't come from out of town because they have other commitments or whatever, so you may not end up with 12. That being said, if you do have 12, I think the best thing to do would be to do it over 2 days for your own sake, because it all tends to become a blur when you start getting to candidate 7, 8, 9 if you do it in one day. We can do 6 and 6 or 6 and 5 or whatever it ends up being.
Where are we doing this?
Well, we're gonna get to that, but what we would recommend to you is to do it at our HR office, which is at the airport center, for two reasons. Yeah. A, that's where the staff, which will be your staff, is located, and we're kind of set up for that. And perhaps more importantly, it's on the property of the Airport Hilton, which is where we would put the candidates up for the night before. So they could literally just walk across the parking lot, and it's a short ride away from the airport.
Maybe we could do it without a Friday and a Saturday.
Sure.
Okay. We could try to get a Friday and Saturday for that. And so...
Is the parking free?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll ask... you want to decide on a time, Mr. McAuliffe?
Are we doing the interviews on a... what's the ED? Is that on a Saturday?
No, you're not with us.
April 24th.
Saturday.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, just... that's the last couple weeks of the legislative session. I could very well be in Tallahassee. But Friday and Friday.
I would expect
you don't have to be here for that.
Well, no. I would expect that we will be looking for a date the following
okay.
week or two.
Okay, gotcha.
For this process.
Okay, we have a date set for the ED.
Gotcha.
That's on April 24th. Is that right?
Thereafter, we'll do.
And that's right. A Saturday. And we're looking for 2 days now for
the Inspector
the IG.
General interviews. I need them to be before May 15th.
Yes.
Sure. I depart.
Do it right.
That's first thing.
Well,
okay.
Just looking, how about May 7 and 8, which is a Friday and a Saturday? Just off the top of our head, good place to start.
Assuming I can persuade a federal judge to move a sentencing, that works for me.
I'm sure your client will be happy.
No.
May what? 7 and 8?
7 and 8.
Okay, everybody check for May 7th and 8th.
Works for me.
And
I have a conflict on those days, Mr. Merriman, okay. But when do you come back, Dr. Fiore?
No, it can be earlier in the week. I have no classes during May, so.
How about April 30 and May 1?
I mean, anything prior to the 15th
is April 30th is the Southern District of Florida's first ever bench bar conference, so it's, I'm a speaker and a presenter at that.
And I'm out of town, Mr. Merriman.
Manny, on your 7th, 8th, is that a hard conflict or something?
If I need to move it, I will forego that opportunity that I have on that date, but that would be difficult. The problem is I'm in trial almost the entire month of May. You know how judges are.
I really wouldn't know.
We can take care of that, I think. On a scheduling basis.
We could do 8th and 9th, which is a Saturday and Sunday. I don't know how that works for folks.
What date?
May 8th and 9th, which is a Saturday and Sunday. I mean, we discussed Friday and Saturday, but...
Mother's Day.
Yeah, right. Okay. You want to do that?
Well, clearly that's a bad idea.
I'm open on the 8th.
Well, there's no... You can do it in one day.
And I'm open on the 7th, but I know Manny just said he's not.
I can't. I'm sorry, I don't have Carrie's calendar.
Yeah. Well, why don't we ask...
Do we have to do it on consecutive days? If we have to,
don't.
I wouldn't want to do it a week apart, but I'd like to do it...
It makes it easier for you to have some consistency and continuity when you're talking to the candidates.
Yeah. I'd hate to have it more than 2 days intervening.
Right. And I personally can do it any
time. Remembering what happened yesterday.
I personally can do it any other day of the week of the 3rd. So if people wanted to do it even a Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday,
right,
I can do that.
Okay, some of us don't have our calendars with us, so why don't we ask Ms. Yen to contact everybody and see if we can come up with a date.
With a target date of the first week of May.
Correct.
Okay. Target date of the first week of May. Okay. And those are our, that brings us into our directions to the staff. That's our directions. Take care.
There you go.
Any staff comments?
I think we've pretty much covered. I have some more comments for the next meeting, but we'll cover that at the next meeting.
Any committee members have any comments on the IG selection? We're still going to be here for the next meeting.
Are we writing letters of the thanks but no thanks to the folks that we're not interviewing at this point, or you wait till the end of the process?
We would do that.
I did want to bring one thing up. I noticed in looking at the ordinance requires that we conduct a background check before we conduct interviews. So I want to be sure that staff is aware of that and that whatever that process is occurs before the interview date.
We are. We've already made arrangements with the purchasing director to do a special purchase to secure.
Did our application have waivers for?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yes.
I just had one other matter, Mr. Chairman, if I could. And I think it applies to both committees, so I'll just ask it here as opposed to the next meeting. And that was to Mr. Berger, if he could. I know I've had some people approaching me recently about endorsing them for political things or raising money or offering money. Or if I could just get your guidance as to what the ordinance allows us to do and what it allows us not to do. We may choose to not do things we're allowed to do, but I'd at least like to know what I am officially not allowed to do.
Okay. And this is in the Commission on Ethics Ordinance, if you look at page 3, you can read along in your book. But these are the requirements that come out of the ordinance. It's can't hold or campaign for any elected political office, hold office in any political party or political committee, actively participate in or contribute to any political action committee or any campaign for state or local office or for any U.S. congressional or Senate office serving Florida. This should be obvious. Be employed by any government that's subject to your jurisdiction, or allow your name to be used in campaign by a campaign in support of or against any candidate for political office or a referendum or other ballot question. You can sign a petition.
But if someone wants me to be on their host committee or their sponsorship committee, I can't allow my name to be used on any campaign literature.
Right, that's what, and I've noticed the way, and again, this was borrowed from Dade County's Inspector General ordinance. It seemed to work well for them, and the, I note that all of this is political office. It doesn't necessarily mean other kinds of professional affiliations, but I think that all of you have your own personal, I think, ethics barometer, and given the positions that you're in, you know, you may choose to do more than what is on this list. And the other thing I'd encourage you all to do, there are certain terms here like actively participate in and what in a campaign. And what that really means is certainly given to interpretation. When your staff is up and running, you may want to more seriously consider a finer point on some of these rules to govern yourselves and the people that you hire.
Is that just for this jurisdiction, this county jurisdiction, or like if he wanted to support somebody in Daytona?
I think Daytona's okay.
What about a state
office? U.S. No, well, it's U.S. congressional or Senate offices that serve the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And it's, well, it actually is any state or local office.
Or a cousin who's running for
mayor. No, it's any state or local office.
Any state or local office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bruce.
There's not an exception for my office. No, I mean, I'm not. I'm not an ethics commission member.
Right.
That doesn't apply to the. You're just the selection committee. It's just the five of you.
So.
No, sorry.
I think the committee said also that your wife can't put a sign on her half of the yard.
Yeah.
And the husband said, "Well, I've been mowing it all this time." Okay. Any other comments? Committee comments?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Chair, I'd like to thank Miss Yan again for putting, what was it, 100?